Thanking Jesus. We're in 1 Timothy. We'll start off here tonight in chapter 2. But thanking God how we left off so sweetly. Timothy, I charge you, Paul said to him. I commit unto you this message of all messages. You're anointed. The Lord and His Word does not return void. Be bold. Be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God. Stir up the gift. Let the power of His might reign. I pray you heard the word of the Lord speaking to you. This isn't a history lesson. This is the Word of God, which is alive, full, in spirit, and ready to inspire you on and build up an inheritance in you among the likes of Paul. Praise God. Verse 1 of chapter 2. I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Praise the Lord. Now, brothers and sisters, we got the message, and we got the message of messages. Matter of fact, the word of the Lord tells us that when we yield to God and allow, praise the Lord, the infilling of the Holy Ghost to come into our life, and by God's grace live that life full of the Holy Ghost, do you know that's the very desire of God, that you grow up into all truth? All truth. Just as the word of the Lord spoke to us tonight, who will have all men to come unto the full, the complete, the exact, the intimate knowledge of the truth. That's God's desire for you. Matter of fact, that's God's very purpose for you. And I'm so thankful to God that, as was given to Timothy in that first chapter, what a salutation. You've got it, son. You've got all the truth. But now we've come to the second chapter. Now the love. See, the Word of God tells us that it's not in word only, but in deed and in truth. The word of His grace, brothers and sisters. And I'm thankful to the Lord. See, He's after us. He's, again, pursuing us. And with nothing less than to be filled with all the fullness of God. And I hope you noticed that as we were reading. All the alls. See, God isn't about some, partway, halfway, almost all, all, that we would win Him. And isn't that something that He's already made us more than a conqueror through Christ who loved us? You talk about being fully supplied. You're not lacking a thing. God desires this for you. When you gave your heart to God, you were blessed at that moment with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You have it all. By God's grace, now grow up into that grace and grow up into Jesus Christ in all things. Praise God. Isn't that amazing? There's more alls, isn't there? But that's how God does it. But brothers and sisters, this precious book we're reading here, this letter, is the vision for the Timothys. And I believe that by God's grace, the Lord is speaking to the Timothys in this place tonight. Amen? Amen. All the abilities there. The message has fully been given. And praise God, the anointing's been given. Now by faith be quickened in love and live it. See, you can have all this knowledge, but without the love of God, it's not going to profit. That's why it's truth in love. As Brother Hill used to preach so many times, as that pastor told him, he said, "Son, if you have all truth and no love or no spirit, you'll dry up. If you have all spirit or all this love and no truth, you'll blow up. But if you get truth and love, spirit and truth together, you'll grow up. And you'll grow up so full, you'll grow up into being filled with all the fullness of God." And how wonderful and how simple that is. And praise be to God that, again, this isn't our desire, this is His desire. And somehow, some way, grace has touched us because of the love of God to apprehend the faith to believe it. Now, as he says here, "I exhort, I plead, I command you." That's what Paul is saying here in this first verse. Supplications, prayers, intercession, and thanks for all men. See, he's getting after it. God is getting after it. He wants us to have the very heart of God. And it's right here, brothers and sisters, and praise be to God, it lives in us. But now, by the grace of God, let it abound, and let it abound to all men. Not just us four and no more, not just the walls of this meeting, by God's grace. This is to all men. This is the very heart of God. This is seeing the value of a soul. By God's grace, if we really want to love as Jesus Christ loves, we have to look through the flesh and see the soul with the eyes of God and the value of that soul to God. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He gave, and He gave everything. He gave all that He had because of His love for man. Praise His name. Now, by God's grace, we can be encouraged and quickened to be a vessel to the praise of the glory of His grace. We can truly be vessels that are set aside for the Master's use. And see, this is what he's getting at with Timothy. Timothy, you can know this word. You can be full of this word. But be a Galilee. Be a body of water. Be a life that's teeming with life. He came to give life, but to give it more abundantly. Brothers and sisters, that's what's being offered to us. And the abundant life is chapter 2. And that's the love of God. That's by God's grace, truly getting our eyes off of ourselves and really seeing with the heart of God. And you talk about Jesus Christ, He never thought of self. Never. There was never a thought of Himself. Jesus Christ in His thought was always, "Father, Thy will be done. Father, I want to be pleasing to You. Father, have Your way. May it be of Your good pleasure in my life." Now, brothers and sisters, those aren't just good thoughts and happy dreams. That's the very life that lives in you as a child of God. That's the life, and the intention of that life is to grow up into you in all things. That I don't think, as I've said often, I don't think, what would Jesus do? It's too late. It already passed me by. Let God. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. And why? Because I'm crucified with Christ. And nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. I'm dead, and Jesus lives in this life. So I believe that by God's grace, I am fully equipped because of the life that lives within me, that there's a mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Let it reign. Believe. Allow the Spirit, by God's grace, to take control. That's yielding, brothers and sisters. Do you see what yielding is? It's faith. It's believing in that life that lives in you. It's believing that by feeding that life, the Word of God in prayer, that that life will strengthen. And that life will be the life that, praise God, reigns. Amen. And is manifest in us. But you see, as we go on here, this is the love that is shed abroad in our hearts. Seeing the value that God sees in the souls of men. And again, so much value that God gave everything in His Son, that through Him they might be saved. Now, as we look at verse 1, I want you to turn over to Philippians chapter 4. And you'll see here something very similar that's said. And in the 5th verse of Philippians chapter 4, it says, "Let your moderation," or your gentleness, "be made known unto all men. The Lord is at hand." See, be ready. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Now, don't you love that? We were rejoicing in that this morning. Just so thanking the Lord. I believe I had that same conversation probably with 7 or 8 people today. Let your mind be stayed upon Him. Praying always. God help me to tend upon that without distraction. That's peace. That's it as well. That's where I'm seated in the heavens in Christ. And I'm thankful to God for that. But what we have here is similar, but I'm going to tell you, in our text, there's a supreme difference. It's not just for ourselves, brothers and sisters, but it's unto all men. And that is a difference. Turn with me to Revelation 5:8. We'll take some time. And we'll see who we're talking about here. What God has in store and envision for you. Revelation 5:8. "And when he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints." Now think about these living ones. Think about these full overcomers in Christ. Think about these that are the Lamb's wife. What they're offering up, the intercession that's going on. Come over to chapter 8 with me. Read from the 2nd verse. In these angels that we see of these 7 angels, we understand that these aren't angels as most people think. These are the messengers. These are those that'll be in that company of the 4 living ones. "And I saw the angels which stood before God, and to them were given 7 trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it up with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar, cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the same 7 angels which had the 7 trumpets prepared themselves to sound." Now, brothers and sisters, what's so wonderful here is that we see this precious ruling and reigning jointly with Christ Jesus. That when he says you're going to be glorified together with me, he means exactly what he says. And praise be to God, we're looking for a day that we're going to see him face to face. And when we see him, we're going to be like him. Because we're going to see him as he is. And I thank the Lord that we know that as we look into Revelation, that my goodness, that bride, that wife is going to be casting out this judgment side by side with him. She rules and reigns jointly with Christ Jesus. She's not just put in the back room. Oh, no. He didn't say, oh, honey, just stand over there and get that palm and wave it over my head. I got you in trouble, brothers. But this is the lover. This is the lover. And he wants a joint heir. He, praise God, will have one that will be because of him. Because of him, she will be equal with him. Because of him, she grows up into him in all things. He shares everything with her. What's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine. Do you have the faith to believe it? Or are you going to draw back in unbelief and say, oh Lord, it couldn't be. I know you tell me that in your word. But I'm just self-righteous enough to say, oh no. I'm not going to take that place. I'll just go back and wave a palm. You know, I don't want to disappoint God. I don't. I want to believe him. Because you know what? The only way I can please God is by believing him. Because it's impossible to please God without faith. And by God's grace, you know what? He said, go, come after me with the most holy faith. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. You want to sing that song? I want to sing that song. And I believe he'll give me the grace to sing that song. So I'm believing him that is faithful and true. So what I'm getting at here, brothers and sisters, and most importantly, what the Spirit is telling us, these are they that we're reading of here that rule and reign jointly together with him. And they somehow don't just transform when they get up there. No. They're ruling and reigning jointly with Jesus Christ right now. That's why he says, the wife hath made herself ready. She has entered into that place right now. What does the word vessel mean? The word vessel means one that adds to the usefulness of the husband. That's who the wife is. They're yoke fellows together. They're helpmates. Now, this isn't of us. We know that. But this is what God wants. And this is what he'll encourage. And this is what he'll inspire. And this is what he will do in you if you'll allow him to do it. As I told you, it's not, man, he's made me all I thought I could be. You better check that at the door. I stand back and stand in amazement. I cannot even believe or imagine. I never thought the things that God would do in me. For eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the hearts of men what God has prepared for them that love him. Amen? Amen. Now, this transformation, brothers and sisters, of this one is going on right now. See, when we get there, by God's grace, we're going to be like him. The reward will already have been determined. It's done. That's why this but a vapor, the most vital time there could ever be. How much grace you're going to take? Amen. How much you want? You go into the throne of grace with big hands. Lord, increase the wineskin. Stretch me. Oh, Lord, I want to be filled with all the fullness of God because Jesus is so beautiful. It gets more exciting every moment, doesn't it? So praise God for what he's doing. But brothers and sisters, this readied wife, these vessels that are adding to the usefulness of the husband are ones that are doing it right now and will do that forever because of His grace. Because of His grace. Now, as we read this, first of all, he says here, first of all, paramount for all men, supplications. That means praying. God, help us to see our need. Pretty simple, isn't it? God helped you to see your need tonight to come to Bible study. Oh, you could have done a lot of things tonight. Grand things. Big fun. But here I am so good. I'm pleasing God because I went to Bible study. I pray you're not thinking that. I pray you're saying in your heart, thank you, Jesus, for the grace that but for God, I never would have set foot in a Bible study. And what a privilege it is to come, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So are we praying like that? What about when you get mad at somebody? I know you don't do that. But I'm talking about me when somebody does me wrong. You know, you could have done a such better job if you would have done it this way, brother. Or when I did something right, you know, it was like no good deed goes unpunished and you get the squish and the squash. Do you get on your knees and say, Lord, help me to recognize my need more and help that brother as well too? Our need of you. This is the heart of God, brothers and sisters, we're talking about. But that's what this supplication is. It's the great need for Jesus and that every man would see that need. And then it goes on to prayers, and that means worship. And as we rejoice in this place, and thanks be to God we do, we know worship is drawing nigh and fervent love as to kiss. Well, that's coming boldly to the throne of grace. So if I pray for you that you see your need, I'll tell you what, if you see it, you'll come boldly to the throne of grace. Because he says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Get that help. Time of need. Get that mercy. Get that grace. It's flowing. Matter of fact, it'll drown you. Come get it. How wonderful. See, God so loved the world, as he said, he gave. And in God so loving the world like that, and I see that, my goodness, that was grace, because there was no reason for God to love the world except that's who God is. And that's what he chose. Grace. My goodness, I'm going to draw nigh to that. I'm going to take him up on that. You mean I'm highly favored? I'm not questioning. I'm just going on in. I'm accepted. Praise God. Approved. Highly favored. I'm there. Yep. I got the blood of the Lamb on me. And I'm in. Hallelujah. And never to be removed. Isn't that wonderful? Now you see, this speaks of the fellowship of the Godhead. You think of the fellowship of the Godhead and how passionate the Godhead is truly to all men. Think of that great grace, the age of grace that we're in today. I mean, I marvel that God doesn't just wrap it up, looking and seeing the wickedness of man. Let me tell you something. He did it in the time of Noah, didn't he? He showed us with Sodom and Gomorrah, whew, dust in the balance and it's gone. And I can't imagine when our Jesus became sin upon that cross and he had to tell his Father, Father, forgive them. Like I said, I can't imagine what was going on at that moment. A lot of thoughts, but I don't know, and I'll just keep those before God. But when he had to turn to his Father, and he said, Father, man, this is the plan. This is the hope. Behold the Lamb. And yet he still had to say, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Oh, hallelujah. That's what we're talking about tonight. That's the passion of the Godhead. I had a sweet brother going through some hard things, and my heart's heavy. And I've heard this before. Oh, well, my family didn't deserve anything to go through this. God help us in our stupidity. Look to that cross. And but for God, what you deserved. Really. Brothers and sisters, I'm not saying I hurt. I know some of the things, but only Jesus knows what you go through. But I'm telling you, the only thing we were worthy of was death, 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 and death. But God. But God. So in that love, there comes the intercession. See, God makes us vessels to the praise of the glory of His grace. God causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. God causes us to be the men and women we never knew we could be. God causes us to go from glory to glory into the very image of Him. We're watching. That's what's so exciting as we do. We look with the eyes of God. We're watching the transformation of the sons of God right before us. The aristocracy. I'm looking tonight by God's grace at souls that will marry Jesus. Come on. Forever. Forever. As sweet Brother Hill would look and say, oh, the aristocracy of forever. That's why I'm privileged to come and to fellowship. Brethren of like precious faith. We know. The purpose is so single. It's so exact. The mark for the prize. So real. Such evidence of things not seen. I rejoice with you. Privileged. Praise God. But intercessions, that's supplication and prayer in action. Christ causing us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And see, this word intercession means a meeting. I appreciate some people that have said before, and I know there's been some that God has encouraged. You know when you say somebody you love them? You ever had somebody stop you and say, do you mean that? Now, it's not for me to question. And I don't know about that. But I know that I've had somebody say that to me that I believe God was speaking to me. And I can say, thanks be to God, He means that. Yeah. He does mean that. But brothers and sisters, this is what this is getting at. It means a meeting, a conversation. It's that Good Samaritan. The cold cup of water. Is our life really about taking a little honey? Huh? Is your life really anticipating that one that might come up to you and say, hey, can you tell me about that hope that lies within you? You're a little kooky. I know you're going through some stuff. But you shouldn't be that happy. You're a nut. The best compliment you could ever have is somebody come up to you, you're living in denial. No, I'm living seated in the heavens in Christ. I'm living in, I know that He does all things well. I'm living in, I know that He perfects that which concerns me. I'm living that I know that all things work together for good to them that love God. I'm living that I know that the one who adores and favors and loves me is He that is faithful and true. That's exciting. That's incredible. That's so beyond any words to express the gratitude and thanks that God, by His grace, has put in our hearts. That all I can tell you is you got to take the peach and eat it too. And thanks be to God, it's been passed around by His Spirit for many years in this place. But we praise the Lord, brothers and sisters, that our lives are truly epistles read of men. That God help our lives to be a testimony that magnifies His grace. And as these things come into our life, how we know it's the word of the Lord and how it's the sincerity of the gospel of Christ, we don't go smacking around our chests and saying, "Oh, look at me. I'm praying for you. Oh, look at me. I was able to help you with this and with that." Oh, no. It's what it says at the very end of this: with all thanks. It's just hitting my knees each and every moment and saying, "Thank you, Jesus." I don't know about you, but I just stand back throughout the day and watch the show of the love of God. Do you know what I mean by that? Because I know that that ain't me. I know that that's Christ in me. I'm telling you the truth. That's why I'm happy. That's why I'm thankful. That's why I look into the Word of God and I say, "Thank you, God, for your grace." That's happening in my life. That's you. And I do give Him thanks. And by God's grace, it's becoming always and in all things. And that's why we do need to pray fervently one for another. Run well. Run to finish with a full joy. By God's grace, if by any means, let this be an insatiable desire. Yep. Running a little flat, a little low. Oh God, I need to hit my knees and say, "Help me." And He's right there. And He brings it. And I can rest in that He's going to perform the good work and performing the good work which He has begun. But that's what's so precious is this thanks, which means favor, grace, and kindness. It's the blanket over everything. God, I give you thanks because you've answered, you're willing, and you're able. And that is a heart in the state of nothing but the divine love of God. Because we see that this is the heart of God. Because this is the heart, truly, that becomes that fellowship of, "Father, thy will be done." Praise the Lord. Don't be afraid of going there. It's okay. See, that's just the fear of unbelief that keeps us from that. It's not trying to be good or whatever it is. It's just letting Christ live in you. Christ's life is, "Father, thy will be done." And it's there to come forth in your life in all things. "Father, thy will be done." And you don't have to say it closing your eyes or wincing. This is the one that does exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. Do you believe that? You couldn't devise it any better. You couldn't even get remotely close. You're in a totally different spectrum. Like I said earlier tonight, I'm getting excited. It's truly, "God, get my hands off of this." I'll tell you, and some of these ones I know that have raised children, and I've marked them as examples because of God's grace. I'm learning what a pleasure it is to truly get my hands off of my own kids. That's when you know that God's doing it. Yep. God. 2 and 3. For kings, here we go. So all this thanks and everything for all men. Now God's going to get specific with us. And He does that because we're weak. We couldn't just say for all men. So now He's going to get specific with some of the ones that are really hard for you. Here you go. For kings, for all them that are in authority. Oh, golly. My boss? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, I thank God, because when this starts to really work in our lives, brothers and sisters, we don't have a care. We don't. Because Jesus knows. He set it all up. This is what this is. This isn't commanding you to go do something. This is getting you to see, to rest. Do you see that? To cease from your own works and your thoughts. I've got this. He doesn't do that time and time again. He has to tap you as you're trying to get all busy. I got this one. Here. Really, I got this one. Here. Sometimes he has to say, I got this one. Here. No, I'm just teasing. But how hard-headed are we going to be? I tell my kids that often. How hard do you want it to be? God's ready to do it real easy for you right now. But I'm telling you, if you do not want to wrestle with him. Ask Jacob. It hurts. But this is what it is. Listen to what he's telling you here is, there be no powers but of God. See, that's an amazing thing. Your life will rest so wonderfully when you realize there are no powers but of God. That if he be for you, who could be against you? That I'm set before you and behind you, my hands upon you. Now we know this, and I believe we believe it, but are we going to rest in it? That means, get into the rocking chair that we've heard about a lot of times and just sit in it. Let him bring all those enemies at the table that he's prepared. He might sit your chief one right next to you. And he's just showing you that he can bring them that close. And in due time, he will exalt you. See, if you just get the eyes of Christ, you'll already understand. He's already prepared the meal. You're already there. It's done. It's finished. Amen? All right. So much here. I love how he talks to us. But see, we have to understand that these powers that God has placed anywhere, he has to give the power, he places them. Whether it's the height of heights of power or the ones that are in the most insignificant, all authority has to be given of him. Think about this. Your teachers, your leaders, your governors, coaches, bosses, whatever it would be, God has precisely appointed them in your life. And not just that, but precisely appointed them for you to win God's best. Because he knew exactly what heads you would need in your life in order to be tested and challenged to look to God. That's right. And not to put your confidence in man whose breath is in his nostrils, but to look to man. I know God did that. I know God does that, praise the Lord, in his tabernacle. He does this in our churches. I know that specifically one of the reasons that the Lord took Brother Hill home. We weren't going to look to Brother Hill. If we were looking to Brother Hill, that wasn't going to happen. As he told me in my heart, just as he told Joshua, Moses, my servant, is dead. I've never changed. And isn't it wonderful, brothers and sisters, we don't look to the messenger, we rejoice in the message. And that's how he does that. And it's in all parts, everything in our life. And that's why, as we rest in that, it's good. As the word of the Lord tells us, even the most wicked, I have even appointed the evil for that day. All right? You know, as we've said it many times, I know that's Beelzebub's sister. And that's my next door neighbor. And God, why did you put her there? Nothing slips by him. Nothing. Nothing. Nothing is overlooked by God. He knows. Yes, Jesus knows. Now see, it's going to be either one way or the other. In unbelief, we're going to be most miserable. We're going to bellyache. We're going to complain. We're going to murmur. Or in that same place, we can be in the state of praise. I can look to the Word of God, and knowing that without that, God, you would not, I would not be perfected in all things that you want me to be. Do you believe that? I pray we believe that with everything in our lives. Brothers and sisters, he has done this. It's so preciously complete. And that's what he's getting at here is he says, it's God our Savior. Notice that. Isn't that wonderful in the third verse? In the sight of God our Savior. And see, this is speaking of the triune God. This is speaking of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost here. All working in perfect unity. This is beyond the salvation of my soul in the sense of giving my heart to God for salvation. This is talking of complete salvation. This is talking about the completeness of the full overcomer in Christ. Amen. And this is what he's after in us, brothers and sisters. We're talking about the ones that are going to slip out of here before the tribulation begins. That's complete. But we need to listen to this, because his perfect will is so simple. It's trusting him always. It's trusting him in everything, in his word. It's looking to the word of God, and that this is our life. And Lord, by your grace, to trust you for it. And Lord, it's not about if I agree with or disagree with my master or my president or my boss or my teacher or my parents. Come on. Honestly, he put them in that place. And he told me to pray for them. But I'm going to tell you something. You better hit Philippians, what we read first of all, and pray for yourself. And ask for the grace to be able to have a heart of God to pray for them. Because vain repetitions ain't going to get it. It will not. This isn't robot control. This is sincerity. And this is, Lord, I want you to perform this in my life, which he will. What do we pray for? How do we pray? Well, the Spirit makes intercession for that. But some of the things that come to my heart is, God, lead them. Amen? Convict them. Do you pray that for your leaders? I pray you do. Oh, I heard say, yeah, I pray for my leaders. I pray they get them out of there. Shame. We're an ornery bunch, aren't we? You can have your political opinions. But I'm telling you, you better let the mind of Christ reign. And I'm going to tell you one thing. I honestly, the Lord's preparing for his coming. And if there's ones that you think are accelerating the process, praise the Lord. Come on. Don't let that step on your toes either way, because it don't matter. They're all speeding up the process because he comes quickly. Come on now. Oh, well, I thought God was a, you know, on the Democrat side. Or, oh, no, I thought he was a Republican. Let me tell you something. That's a bunch of nonsense. Well, I'll get you all upset in a minute, so I'll let God do that. But here it says that when we get into that, Romans 8:28, I'll tell you what, it'll abound in your life. It really will. And the word of the Lord tells us that we may lead a quiet. Isn't that something? Well, I thought, brother, the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Now, there might be times that he might have you throwing some tables around a church. Hopefully not here. By God's grace, not here. But he said a quiet, peaceful, and I love that, peaceful, full of peace. And see, that only comes from the one thing. Lord, I want to win you. Work that in me. See, then I don't get all up and worked up about things that don't matter. I don't get worked up about the economy. I don't get worked up about the government. I don't get worked up about these things. And I'm sorry to say, you can lose your emotions in that, and it will take you away. It will divide people. Again, you can have your thoughts and opinions, but understand that's exactly what they are. You best get the mind of Christ and pray. And even so, Lord, come quickly. Amen? Just more reason to get on out of here. Those are the fringe benefits. Goodbye. Won't even have time for that, will we? Praise His name. And we'll wrap this up here. There's so much here. We'll have to hit it next time. But see, this is quiet and peaceful as the readied wife, as we talked about on Sunday. And you'll notice there it says, in all godliness and honesty. And see, what that's getting at here, brothers and sisters, is, see, there's nothing of me that would be godly. It's all of the Lord, so it's all is under the Lord. You see that? That's so sweet. And honesty speaks of purity, sincerity, gravity. See, I know that all men are liars. That's you too. It's truth. So I understand he must be talking about something really important here. So it is sincerely knowing I need the grace of God. This isn't an eye service or trying to manipulate a situation. I know lots of people say, well, I did this and did this, and God was supposed to do that. Don't try to make a deal with God. That's stupid. That's so stupid. That's what a child does. You do it out of love, by God's grace, because of His love for me. Thank you, Jesus. Love's the motivator. But this is just letting God perform it in us heartily and joyfully and willingly. And thank God, maybe we get to the point where I'm just privileged because it's you, Jesus. Amen? Yeah. Maybe we can even move into that as we're moving tables in the basement, if the Lord tarry. It wasn't a good deed. It was just because of the love of God. Praise His name. And then finally in verse 3 here, we'll close up with this thought. How wonderful it is to please God. Isn't that wonderful? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Man, just having a heart like the Lord and praying and sincerely wanting you to win God's best. Man, that's probably hitting the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, wouldn't you say? Amazing what truth and love does in our lives. Sweet smelling incense, brothers and sisters, beautiful is what this means. Excellent, praiseworthy, agreeable in the sight of God. Grace, grace, grace. See, grace, grace, grace is what takes His breath away. Grace, grace, grace is how He's smitten with you. Grace, grace, grace is with just one bat of your eye. He's just enthralled because you rest in Him. And again, I think about it being the entire Godhead. And it draws me right back to Genesis 24. As the Master sends out that servant Eliezer, the Holy Ghost, to go find a wife for my son. And he describes the beauty, the Master describes the beauty that will be found in Rebekah. And then there's the servant Eliezer, the Holy Ghost. He beholds and is stunned by the speechless, and he's speechless at her beauty. And then the son, as she arrives, running through the field to embrace his beauty. And all I can say is it's just incredible. Absolutely incredible. The Word of God so perfect, so true. The Godhead so completely in love and in passion. With the plan, the purpose, the provision, and the power of God. Isn't it wonderful? I pray this encourage your heart. Should. We're going to see Him soon. Praise His name. Let's stand and be dismissed.